9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring today. Robert Half is here to help. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
President Biden prepares to announce new withdrawals from America's strategic oil reserve. Plus, the EU proposes a wholesale natural gas price cap.
So the idea is for the EU to have a tool that it could access if it feels it really needs to lower gas prices if they really spike over the winter.
And as China withholds key economic data, how are investors reacting? It's Wednesday, October 19th. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. And here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. The Biden administration is planning to sell more oil from the country's strategic reserves and is considering authorizing new sales this winter, according to senior administration officials. President Biden plans to address the nation on gasoline prices today as the midterm elections near, and as the clock runs down on previously planned releases from government oil reserves that have helped to temper prices at the pump. Wall Street Journal reporter Joe Wallace.
There's still a lot of oil left in the reserve, about 400 million barrels, but it is down 40% from its total capacity, and OPEC seems to be digging in its heels in terms of cutting production.
The administration is also planning to complete a plan for buying more crude to refill the reserve, though officials expect they won't make such purchases for months. Republican prospects ahead of next month's U.S. midterm elections have brightened in the closing weeks of the campaign, analysts say. A Democratic lead of about 2 percentage points on the generic ballot, the question of whether voters plan to back a Democrat or Republican for Congress, has now been cut by more than half since late September, according to the 538 average of polling results. Analysts from both parties say Republicans are increasingly likely to retake the majority in the House, while control of the 50-50 Senate could still hang in the balance. We are exclusively reporting that Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Co. is considering expanding its production capacity in Japan in what would be a move to reduce its geopolitical risk. That is according to people familiar with the matter. Those people said the Japanese government has signaled that it would like TSMC, the world's largest chip maker, to expand in the country beyond a factory already under construction. A TSMC spokeswoman said the construction for the project in Japan is on track and declined to comment on possible expansion. An official at Japan's Ministry of Economy, Trade and Industry, who oversees the semiconductor industry, declined to comment. Annual inflation in the UK has returned to double digits, hitting 10.1% in September. That is cementing expectations of another rise in the Bank of England's key interest rate early next month, even as the medium-term price outlook has been clouded by changes in government policy. The BOE's Monetary Policy Committee is set to announce its next rate decision on November 3rd. And prepare for a weakened holiday shipping season. That is the message from truck and rail transport company J.B. Hunt, which said it's expecting weaker freight volumes in what's typically the busiest period for logistics operators. The freight bellwether said it is closely watching shifting consumer spending habits amid broader concerns of an economic downturn. On Tuesday, J.B. Hunt reported growth in the third quarter up 35% from a year earlier, but revenue in its freight brokerage business was down 11% in the third quarter year over year, and volume was down 8%. The publication of national GDP data sometimes makes for a headline on this podcast, but what about when that data isn't released as expected? That is the situation presenting itself now after Chinese authorities unexpectedly delayed two major economic data releases in recent days without providing explanation. Wall Street Journal economics reporter Stella Yifan Xia has been tracking this story, and she joins us now from Hong Kong with the latest. Hi, Stella. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Stella, tell us about the data we haven't been receiving lately from the Chinese government and how unusual it is that we find ourselves in this situation.
So last Friday, China's customs authority, they did not release the monthly import and export data for September as expected. And that really came as an initial shock and left a lot of economists scratching their heads because no reason was provided. And the bigger news came on Monday when China's National Bureau of Statistics suddenly announced that it won't release the quarterly GDP figure as scheduled for Tuesday. Both situations are highly unusual. Some people call it unprecedented in the recent history of China.
Do we have any indication whether this might be temporary? Of course, the big Chinese Communist Party Congress is happening right now in Beijing. Or is there a sense, I don't know, this is something investors maybe need to get used to?
Well, we don't really know what caused the delay since there was no official explanation. Some economists, they did point to some technical explanations. For example, the party officials, they have been summoned to watch Xi Jinping's speech at the opening of the Congress on Sunday. Other people, though, speculate perhaps the central government wants to send a message, which is they want people to focus on the party Congress and not be distracted really by just any other affairs. But now there seems to be a consensus forming among investors that we're going to have less data and information coming out of China as the country really tightens the flow of information. The way to communicate with the public and the market now appears to be less transparent. And the major downside of that is by withholding information, China may inadvertently trigger a sense of panic among global investors, even though the underlying picture may not be as bad as people predict.
That was Wall Street Journal economics reporter Stella Yifan Xia joining us from Hong Kong. Stella, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, can the European Union avert an energy crisis this winter? EU officials hope so, and they've just proposed a range of steps to fill natural gas storage tanks and cushion consumers from high prices. We'll take a look at those proposals after the break.
Want to get smarter about investing? Then tune in to the Capital Ideas podcast from Capital Group, home of American Funds Distributors, Inc., one of the world's leading asset managers. Each week, we bring you stock market outlooks, macroeconomic updates, and investment strategies that can help you succeed. Learn from portfolio managers with decades of experience about how they navigate uncertain markets. Prepare to be engaged, enlightened, and entertained by listening to the Capital Ideas podcast today.
European Union officials are seeking the power to impose an emergency cap on the price of natural gas on the bloc's main trading exchange. That is part of a package of proposals unveiled this week aimed at trying to cushion consumers from high prices and fill storage tanks next year ahead of winter. Wall Street Journal reporter Kim McCrail in Brussels has been tracking the European Commission's proposals, and she joins us now with the details. Hey, Kim, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
All right, so let's start by talking about this potential emergency price cap. What exactly is being proposed here?
Yeah, so the idea is for the EU to have a tool that it could access if it feels it really needs to lower gas prices if they really spike over the winter. This is a little bit technical, but the whole problem as the EU sees it is that the main trading hub for natural gas, which is called the TTF, isn't really representative of the market, and it has been experiencing some big spikes since the war in Ukraine began. And the EU wants to actually create a new benchmark to try to deal with that issue, but that's going to take some time. So in the meantime, what it's suggested is that it can have this tool to kind of intervene on that main trading hub if it feels that's really necessary.
And intervene how exactly?
What they think they can do is just put a limit on how high the price can go. And they haven't defined what that limit would be. If they were to implement this, they would say prices can't go above whatever that set level is, and trading would just have to happen under that cap.
In terms of getting a sense whether the European Union member states might actually go for this idea, who's in support of these measures and who's opposed?
It's a tricky question at this point, actually, because the proposal that they've put forward this week actually seems like an attempt by the European Commission to thread the needle between two very different points of view on how to handle high prices. So on the one hand, you've got Southern European countries largely and some others who really want a price cap and have been arguing that they absolutely need to have a cap on wholesale gas prices. They would like that to come in right away, not necessarily just as an emergency tool. And they've been asking for that for some time. On the other side, you've got a group of countries, including Germany and the Netherlands, that are quite opposed to that idea. And they think that kind of intervention could result in gas actually going to other markets because maybe the EU might not be paying as much for it and maybe contributing to people using gas more. So what they've put forward in this proposal is an attempt to kind of go in between these two opposite sides. But what you might actually also have happen is a situation where neither side is totally happy. So the commission is hoping that they're going to get a compromise here between those two opposing sides. And it'll be probably something we won't know too clearly until the next few days, whether or not they've managed to satisfy people on both sides of that.
Yeah, in terms of what the road looks like from here, when will we get a sense whether this proposal could actually see the light of day?
Yeah, so the first time this is really going to be actively discussed will be at a meeting of leaders at a summit in Brussels, which starts tomorrow. So that will be, for us, maybe a chance to try to get a better sense of how governments are actually perceiving these proposals. That'll be a fairly high-level discussion at this point. Next week, energy ministers from across the EU will have another meeting where they might get into a few more of the details. But the way the Commission has proposed this idea of the possible cap is that it's really part of a process. So first, they have to get sort of high-level agreement from leaders and energy ministers that this is the way they want to go. And then they will put forward something that's more specific and lays out how this could actually come into effect.
Kim, there was a lot else besides this emergency price cap idea that the European Commission has floated this week. Tell us about some of the other proposals that they are throwing out there.
I think one way of looking at this, it could be a little bit of a throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks sort of set of proposals. There are a lot of elements in it. There's an idea of trying to encourage governments to pool their demand. So this is about preparing for next winter. And then they also have some material in there trying to explain and create some rules for what would happen if one country runs short of gas and needs to get help from another country. And so the European Commission is saying, we have to have a way to do this. And they're sort of putting out a set of standard rules for dealing with that sort of situation.
And finally, Kim, what is the mood within the EU right now as winter approaches? Is there a sense of urgency about the energy issue?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of sense of urgency. On the one hand, it's probably important to mention that the EU has been very successful in filling storage and is above 90% now of their storage, which was very important going into the winter. So the concern has shifted a little bit more in recent weeks toward price. But supply is still an issue, and there are so many variables going into the winter. We don't know what the weather will look like. A colder winter would mean more heating. So there are a lot of things that are just unknowns at this point and are leaving a lot of governments and European officials just concerned about what the next few months will look like.
That was Wall Street Journal reporter Kim McCrail joining us from Brussels. Kim, thanks so much for the update.
Thank you.
And finally, could a high-tech two-pronged invention help a salt-loving nation to shake the habit? Thanks to popular food preparations like mackerel in soy sauce and vegetables pickled in salt, the Japanese consume on average twice as much salt as the World Health Organization recommends. And that has led Japanese government health officials to worry that salt intake is driving high blood pressure. But researchers with beer maker Kirin think they may have found a solution, in the form of chopsticks that deliver an electric current to trick taste buds into tasting a lot of salt in foods that actually only have a little. Journal reporter Miho Inada has more on this unique utensil.
They are not user-friendly yet, and those users, diners, have to tie a power control unit around their wrist and attach a cable to the chopsticks. It's kind of clumsy. So they said that they need to shrink electronics small enough to put everything in the chopsticks. And that takes time. They are planning to apply the technologies to forks and spoons. And that means people in the Western countries probably can use them in the future.
And that's What's News for Wednesday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.